Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Let's pray. Father, we come to you again for this wonderful opportunity we have to be in this great nation. And Lord, to see the very love and the very commitment that came upon these soldiers. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name to bless their families. We thank you for their commitment. We thank you, God, that it was the wholeness of who you are that watched over them, that you would extend the freedom that we know through the government. But God, most of all, long before that, you made way for us to be free through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit living in us today. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we continue, let's see, Lisa. There you are. You hid over there.
Good morning. This November 12th through the 15th, the ICC soccer fields will be transformed into sacred ground as we welcome the Wall That Heals into Rutherford County. The Wall That Heals is a three-quarter scale traveling replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. It will bring with it the impact of the wall and the emotion of the wall. This is more than a memorial. It is a traveling exhibit where we educate our future generations on the human cost of war. Sorry. Right here at home in Rutherford County, we have 10 hometown heroes, the Rutherford 10, whose names are forever etched on the wall, a lasting reminder that freedom has always come at a cost. They were part of this community, and they gave everything so that we could live free.
Amen.
While the wall honors those who never made it home, the In Memory program exists to honor the Vietnam veterans who went to Vietnam, came home, and are no longer with us. Bringing something this meaningful to our community takes all of us. It takes volunteers, supporters, and people willing to stand together to say, these lives mattered, and these stories will live on. Mm-hmm. I have brochures in the back if you want to find more information on how you can help or if you want information on the In Memory program. When the Wall That Heals comes to Rutherford County this November, come volunteer. Stand before it. Find a name. Read a story. Remember a face. And allow yourself to feel the weight, the sacrifice, and the humanity behind the 58,281 names on that wall. Because every life mattered. Every life tells a story, and every story deserves to be remembered. Let us never forget.
Amen. Amen. Let's see, now we were, I think it's the only one in North Carolina, and this is the first time in North Carolina as far as the Wall That Heals. Yes? Okay. So this is an honor, and I thank Lisa for working hard to get this
to honor the fallen. And it is a sort of like once in a lifetime opportunity to be able to do that. And she will need help from time to time during these next few months. Contact Lisa and see what you can do to help her. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's good. Well, before I get started, I want to sing, well, I'd like to sing Welcome Back. Welcome Back. I don't know that much about that song. Welcome Back. You know who I'm doing that to? Robbie Snyder. he had surgery. Where are you, Robbie? Okay. He's where? He's nowhere. So, no. But he's been out how long? Okay. But he's been out several weeks for his hip and he had hip replacement, right? Right, that one, that's what he had. Yeah. So we're glad to see him back. Amen? Amen? We're glad to see you. Turn to somebody and say, I'm glad to see you. Now, if you lied, repent. It is so good to see everybody today. It really is. I want to, amen. Before we get started, let's pause for a minute to pray for Pastor Charlie. I know that he's been watching, and we've dedicated a song. So let's just pause for a minute and pray for him and for his breakthrough as well. Father, we thank you for Pastor Charlie. We thank you for the man of God that he is. We thank you for everything that he poured from his life that you gave him into this place, into this house. And we ask you to bless him with the breakthrough that he needs to become completely whole. We ask you for the courage and the strength for Miss Lynn. And we ask you, God, that you would bless her for her service in caring for one of yours. But God, we ask you to minimize the days of his sickness and the stroke effects. And we ask you, God, for complete wholeness, complete health, and complete restoration for your glory and his well-being. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Say it louder.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to continue with our fall freedom and fullness. But last week we talked about we're justified, we're rendered innocent, not guilty. Now, anytime you want to say amen, you can say amen. It's perfectly fine. Justified, rendered innocent, not guilty. Christ died for all of our sin. We have peace with God. We gained access to grace. We now stand in grace, saved from the wrath of God. These are Romans 4 and Romans 5. All of that is in those scriptures. Every bit of that is in those scriptures. I think it's powerful. Number two, we are free from the penalty of sin. What does that mean? Does it mean we're forgiven of all of our sin? All of our sin. We're made alive together with Christ. He canceled the debt against us. See, we had a debt that we owed. We're sinners. The certificate of debt. And he canceled that against us, taking it out of the way, disarmed our spiritual enemies. Hallelujah. And he showed the victory. And under no condemnation. Boy, that's awesome. Colossians 2 and Romans 8. Hey, it's good stuff, ain't it? Yeah, it's the truth. It's the facts that God has done for us. So we are free from the power of sin. Our old nature was crucified with him. We're no longer slaves to sin. Slaves to it means you can't do what you can't do what you need to do. You have to do what the enemy says. No longer slaves to sin. We're freed from sin. We're free from the dominion. The dominion of sin. That word free means you're free from the dominion. It doesn't dominate anymore. And what does that mean? It means that that sin shall not master over you and I. He's our master, not sin. Amen. Amen. And we're no longer under the law. We are under
grace.
Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6, 5 and 7 and 14. That was last week. What are we going to do this week, Pastor? Well, we're going to look at a few more. You can go to the scriptures now. We're going to look at a few more before I talk to you about that. I want to let you know that our faith in God's word, we need to tell the promises of God and the facts and the deeds. Why is that necessary? Well, here's why it's necessary. We love the promises, but see, if promises are anticipated, it's a done deal. It's already happened by faith. Does that make sense? So I'm free from sin because of him and because I said yes to Jesus. That's a done deal. That is a fact. That's not a promise. I've already done that. He's done that for me through our faith with him. So we need to understand that without grabbing hold of the facts that we just went over and the facts that we're going to go over, without having a faith, without understanding it and having a faith in them, you and I will not have the faith to continue a healthy and a prosperous spiritual journey. If we can't understand these facts, we're not going to be able to have the faith to walk without being self-centered, without being self-conscious. We won't have to do that. Why? Because we'll be trying to earn what we just said he did for us. Can't earn it. Unmerited. We can't earn it. He gave it. All we did was surrender. We give our lives to him. So we begin to understand that he lets us know clearly that these are the things that I've done for you upon your faith in me. Upon your faith in me, these are the things that I've done for you. Now, there's promises that are forthcoming. Amen? How many of you have some promises of God that you're still waiting on? You know, they're coming. You know what he says? He said that the promises of God to him are yes. Amen's not his. Amen's ours. The promises of God in him are yes. And then he talks about in us, through him, in us, they are our amen. Which means what? So be it. That is good stuff. It really is. We see a promise of God. What are we supposed to do? Come on. What are we supposed to say? Amen. Amen. So be it. Be it unto me as you have said. Oh, yeah. So he wants us to understand that. But if we do not have the understanding of these facts and these deeds that God has said, I've done this for you. You're justified. You're free from the penalty of sin. You're free from the power of sin. That's not something you have to work to get because you can't work to get it. He's already done it. It's a done deal for him. He said, this is what I've done for you. So if we cannot have the faith in our position that he said we now have, if we don't understand it, we're not going to be able to walk straight. If you understand that, we have to see it, we have to understand it, we have to have faith in it. Say yes, amen to that. So if we cannot do this, our Christian walk will be full of frustration. I mean, have you ever been frustrated in your Christian life? Come on, there's been frustrations. I don't do the things that I need to do sometimes. You know, so we have some of those frustrations. But see, your condition of what you're going will never change what he's already done. Did you hear that? The condition that you're in will never change what he's already done. But your faith in your position will change your condition. Because now the perception that you have, the idea that you have, I'm justified, I'm innocent. So I don't have to work to gain anything. No. You have to work from what you gained. You live out what he's already put in. Okay. So that's a, we really capture this thing that our position is unchangeable. He's done it. Matter of fact, he's done it to the point that I am what? I am seated where? In heaven with Christ. That's where, if you're born again, that's where you are right now. Even though sitting right here, you're seated in. See, that's a done deal. Our condition is variable. Our position is solid. You don't have to work for it. It's already there. Our condition can improve when our faith grows to the place that when he says we need to do this in our walk with God, our condition will change as we have faith in what he's telling us to do. Okay. Are you ready for some more? Let's look at some more of these divine facts. Next one will be a new creature. Do we have that one? We have that one up there? New creature. It's a positional truth that defines who you are. We were sinners. We had an old nature. He said our old nature, our old man died with Christ on the cross. And upon our appropriation of the faith in what he's done, he said, you are now a new creation. You're a new creature. So now he said, your identity is not in that anymore. Your identity is in who I say you are, in me. Boy, it's a life changer, isn't it? Did it change your life when you became saved? Yeah. Were you fully mature when you became saved? No. No. You're in the process, you and I are in the process of becoming more mature. Our condition is going to be changing over the years. The more we see, the more we grab hold of what he's telling us, and the more we have faith in it. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. New things have come. It's a brand new life given to us by Jesus Christ. Without knowing this new identity and our new nature, we will be prone and we will to be lured into self-pleasing, self-satisfaction, and self-accomplishment. We'll lean more on ourselves. Why? Because we're not leaning into the fact that we're a new creation. That means you don't have to sin. The power of sin's broken. You don't have to do that. I'm going to say, amen. Don't have to do that. Why? He's empowered me in my new creation, new creature, to not do that. By the grace of God in me. I don't have to live that way anymore. I have a brand new life. And to live from that position. Next one. We are reconciled. So that new creation. Here's the next fact. We are reconciled to God. Well, is that good? That's absolutely wonderful. What does it say? So now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What is this reconcile? You know, reconcile means to return back to favor. Return back to favor. Notice you're in his favor. What does that mean? That means that God has a delight. When you study it in the Greek, God has a delight to demonstrate his goodness, his mercy, his protection, the opportunities. He demonstrates that, and he delights in it. That's the favor of God. But he said, I've reconciled you not to where you used to be. I reconciled you to me. You're in my favor. How many of you want the favor of God? Absolutely. It's not something to be, you know, we look, it's not about, oh, look, this car is pulling out and I'm right here at the door. I got the favor of God on me. If that's the mount to your favor, then yay. You understand what I'm saying? There's opportunities that happens to it, but his favor is his demonstration of how much he delights you and I. The kindness that he gives us. He loves to demonstrate that. So being reconciled to God is extremely important. Extremely important. He gives us assurance and gives us the opportunities that have you ever had opportunities that you didn't know you had until one day they showed up? Dude, that's a favor. Give me that over a parking space any day. I can walk a few more feet. I can't do this other. We put it in the same category of saying, yes, God, thank you. See, to me, it's right next door. It's just 20 feet away from the door. And that is fine. That is great. But let me ask you this. Are you not in favor if it's at the lower end of the parking lot? Do you say, well, I don't know how favor of God. I'm way down here. Boy, give me a life. We need a life. You understand what I'm saying? We have to not minimize these things to make it sound like we've got favor just because we've got a better parking space. Now, you go to court, you're in court, you're there for something. Now, what are you praying for? Favor. I'll pray for favor. You can't do anything about it. He can. Right, Eric? Anybody that's had that? That's the favor of God. I'm reconciled. I have favor with God. I'm reconciled with him. I have favor with God. Oh, I like that, amen. Thank you very much. I like that. What is the next one? This next one is, that was favor, right? Okay, reconciled. This one is you're made righteous. You're made righteous. In 2 Corinthians, we got it. 2 Corinthians, made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. He knew no sin, didn't know anything about it, didn't know any, didn't commit any, but he became sin for us. That's what he did. He became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I take your sins and I give you my righteousness. I give you my righteousness. You may say, well, I don't do all the right things. It means you're not perfect. Doesn't mean you don't have his righteousness. This righteousness, it means to have the state to be acceptable to God. Has God accepted you? Are you acceptable to God? Listen, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. How many acts has he done? Just got baptized. It's not about the doing. It's about the being. I've made you righteous. See, if our works live from a spot that says, I have the righteousness of God in me through Jesus Christ. It will begin to change the condition of how you live your life. Now, we can try to do self-help stuff. We can try to do all this other. We can try to find another way. There's only one way. It's called Jesus. It's called Jesus. So we have the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God in him. And it also means not just accepted, but you are approved. He approves you. Now, hear me say this. He didn't approve of what you just got through doing. Maybe. But he approves you. Why? You're just. He declared you innocent. He declared you without the penalty of sin. He declared you without the power of sin. He, de- He said, you have a new creation. You are a new creation. And I've redeemed you. You have my favor. Oh. See, can you understand that when we go through these and we walk in these, how it will change how we live out our Christian life? We don't look at these often enough. We don't dwell on these. We don't meditate on them. And we don't put them in our lives to the place of saying, this is who he said I am. This is what he said I have in him. Don't have to work to get it. See, religion tries to get you to make sure that you work to get what you want. So, and then when we're prone to, we have to do something in order to get something. To attain what he's already given. So no, I've given you that through my son Jesus. What's the next one, Pastor? The next one is redeemed. What does that mean? It means to buy back. It's a ransom. And he'll rescue you and he owns you. Everybody say the word, he owns you. He owns you. If he redeemed you, he owns you. You're his. He bought you not with money. He bought you with the blood and the sacrifice of his son. That's how he paid. That's how he paid for you. Took you off the block of sin and shame and being under the law. Said, no, I'm going to do something about this. Look, the Galatians 4, it says, but the fullness of time came. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see what redeem does? Redeem says you're no longer your own. You're mine. And what does he say by you're mine? Well, that last part of that verse said? What? I've adopted you. Boy, when you look at adoption, so adoption, you can't write an adopted child out of the will. You cannot write an adopted son, an adopted child out of the will just because he did something wrong. He said, yep, I've redeemed you. I paid a ransom for you. I rescued you, and you're not your own. He says this over in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. According to what? The riches of his grace. That's the standard. He owns it all. Every bit of it. He owns it all. Amen. And let's look at this other one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Now what did it say? Do you not know? We need to know this, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Temple of God. The Holy Spirit is where? In me. The Spirit of Christ is in me. And then he goes on and says, don't you know this? That whom you have from God? And that you are not your own. Don't you know that? You're not your own anymore. You can't go do just what you want. You belong to me. And I'm going to supply you with everything that you need to do what I want you to do. Verse 20, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, I've been bought with a price. Therefore what? He says, glorify. My goodness, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. What does that mean? I got to do. Yeah, you got to do. You and everything that's in your body, what you think, what you say, what you do. He said, glorify. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Now, glorify. God with your body. Listen, singers do the same thing, but when the dancers, we've talked about this before. Some people struggle with dance because they're doing this. Listen, it says, yield your instruments before God, instruments of righteousness. When they come down dancing before, they're not looking to see if you're happy about it. Matter of fact, when you watch them, they won't look to see if you're looking at them. Why? That is, you are not the reason they're doing it. They dance like David danced, before the Lord. Other people may see it, but it's before the Lord. Yield your body. Doesn't mean that you got to be part of the dance team. You ever been sitting down, but you was dancing on the inside? You ever felt that way? All of a sudden, you said, I'm not going to do that. And all of a sudden, your foot started. You do that. Say, well, why do we clap? We don't clap to applaud the team. Well done. Y'all did a good solid job on the song. We're not doing that. They're not looking for that. They're not asking for that. And that's not what we're doing. We're clapping our hands in agreement to the Father that, yes, yeah, and we applaud the audience of one. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Look at the time. To glorify, it means to manifest, to magnify the splendor, the majesty, and the honor, and the dignity of who he is. Not your own. I've redeemed you. I've rescued you. When God saved you, how many of you did he rescue? Raise your hand. If he rescued. Amen. He did. It means rescue. We'll do one more and then we'll close. No, I'm not. I hope and pray that today and the rest of this series that you and I understand that we need this Bible. We need Jesus, the Word of God. We need this Bible to tell us the truths and the deeds and the facts of God. And we really need to grab hold of those and say, that's not who I hope to be. That is who I am because of my faith in Christ. And then the promises are still anticipated. They're forthcoming. Because without that, once again, mine and your life, our Christian walk, would be rattled and riddled with things of self that we need to do in order to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. Just because you're born again does not mean you can accomplish anything that he wants you to do, because you still need him to work through you to do it. But we need to do it from the position of being justified, being a new creature, being redeemed. That's who I am. Let the redeemed of the Lord. What does it mean? I'm redeemed. That's what it means. Say so. So I'm redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But it's not just being able to voice it. It's being able to live out. I've been redeemed. I have his favor. I've been rescued. Why do I need to go back to that? I've been rescued. I have the grace. I stand in a position of grace. All my sins are forgiven. And he's given me the power of the Holy Spirit. Not to do what you want, but to do what he wants you to do. Oh, isn't he good? So this makes the Christian life so much more desirable instead of being, I'm saved and yet I'm walking in a frustrated condition. I'm just being frustrated into the place of giving up. Because we can't accomplish. All he wants you to accomplish is to abide and rest and be what he says he's already done for you. Now, we have more work to do when we get to fullness. But we can't get to fullness without understanding the freedoms that he's given us. If we still walk in a bondage to religion and a bondage to works, we'll never get to fullness. And he wants us to get to fullness. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your Spirit, thank you for accomplishing these things for us, that you have put us in the position that we cannot get and we could not get on our own. Forever remind us of who we are and what we have already in you. That we could live out our life glorifying you and our body. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Let the church say,
amen.
Man, we have ate good today. Got a few things that you need to know about. Before we get out of here real quick, fifth Sunday. Everybody say fifth Sunday. That's next week. Am I right? Is that right? So that means there's no Sunday school. That's family worship day. So we all come together and we're going to worship together in here. Kids, children, adults. If you come to this church, we meet here at 10:30. However, there will be no fifth Sunday meal next week. Because we're setting up for VBS. So we have to have the FLC setting up for that. So just be ready for that, okay? Because of Memorial Day, office will be closed tomorrow and the healing room will be closed Tuesday night. If you've graduated high school, college, physical therapy, anything that you have graduated from, let Pastor Austin know in the coming week because we want to honor you on June 7th, okay? Because that's a great thing. That's a hard thing to stay focused and do that. So we want to honor you graduates. So make sure you let Pastor Austin know because we're going to have a special time on June 7th. VBS needs some kids' clothes, 3 and up, adults' hats, gloves, anything like that. If you can drop it off by next Sunday, VBS is looking for that. That's going to be part of the aesthetic. Can everybody say aesthetic? Yeah, okay. That's pretty good. Pretty good. For the coming VVS, all right? Now, that being said, we need to pray. And we need to pray because we have several people that are in need of prayer. One just came in while Pastor was speaking. One of our students, Ian McAfee, was rushed to ER this morning because of abdominal pain. So we need to be praying for him. We need to be praying for Alan Sharp. He's at Duke right now. We need to be praying for Kristen Jenkins. She's in the hospital. We need to be praying for Miss Sarah Bibler. She has blood pressure issues that are going on right now. We need to be praying for June Pearson, a 5-year-old that's had 2 brain surgeries already fighting cancer in the hospital right now. So we got a lot of people that needs the favor of God right now. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you know these folks and you know their condition. And Lord, you are the healer. You are the physician. And Lord, each one needs a special touch. And so we come in an agreement right now with you, your word, as a corporate body saying touch and heal and make whole everyone that's needing a touch right now of your wholeness and healing power, Lord. We believe you. We believe your word. And you sent your word to heal our disease. And, Lord, anything touching these folks right now, we bind it and we arrest it with your word and your will to see healing come through their bodies. And we thank you, and then we'll be quick to praise you that it was all you when we see the reports of you doing mighty things. Lord, go throughout the week with us, empower us, give us the grace to do what you're calling us to do in those divine appointments you're going to be calling us to this week. And Lord, let us always remember as we go through this Memorial Day weekend, the great memorial, which is the cross on the hill, that you no greater love than this, than a man lays his life down for his friends. And Lord, you were the one that taught us that. And so we thank you for what you've done for us, and we'll be quick to praise you as we see you win this week through us. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.